It is that very opening verse that I want to draw your attention to for a little while this afternoon. And what I want you to do is to notice the very first come that there is recorded in the Word of God. That word appears many, many times in the Scriptures. And certainly during the Gospels and those recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's many times that the Savior uttered the word come. Some of them are very well known. You may be able even now to recall some of those statements to mind that the Savior said. For example, in Matthew's Gospel, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Or maybe that one in John's Gospel where it says, come, for all things are now ready. And that word come, as I say, appears many times in the Word of God. And what a great gospel word that it is. What a word of invitation that it is to men and women to come. Because there is a need to come. There's a need to come to Jesus Christ. And that's why that word appears so many times. That's why that invitation is found in the Scriptures on so many occasions. It's because there is a great need to come. And what I want to do for a little time this afternoon is take you back to this portion of the Word of God, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And I want you to notice the very first come that there is in the Word of God. And is it not interesting that it has to do with the ark? The ark that was made for the saving of humanity. The first come that you find in the Scriptures has to do with this particular matter. The words of God unto Noah there, come, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And is it not significant that the very first come that there is in the Bible has to do with coming to a place of safety? Isn't that what salvation is all about? Isn't that why we need to come? We need to be saved. And that suggests that we are in danger. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we're coming to a place of safety. We can come and enter into the experience of God's salvation and know what it is to have our sins forgiven and be ready for heaven. And then to be able to say, I'm saved. I'm saved for all of eternity to come. No matter what might happen here in this world, our eternal destiny is then secure because we have come. So I find it very striking that the very first come of the Bible ought to set before us the need to come to a place of safety. And for a moment or two, I want you to think about those circumstances that prevailed in Noah's day. First of all, I want you to consider the timely warning that was given. The timely warning that was given. This invitation to come into the ark was because of a time of trouble that was about to break upon the earth. You'll notice there in the next few verses that it says that in 7 days, verse 4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. That's the time of trouble that was coming upon the earth. And the invitation that is extended here to Noah and to his family has that as its background. Here's the context of these words. It's because there's a time of trouble ahead. We could even go further than that and say it's a time of judgment. Because the Bible tells us such, that God judged the earth with water. Away back in those days of Noah, there was a watery judgment that came upon the earth. And here is this exhortation given against that backdrop. Not only a time of trouble, serious trouble, but a time when God is going to judge the world. And that is why there is need for Noah and his family to enter into this ark that has been prepared. You see, the Bible tells us that God warned Noah about all of this. You have to turn over to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. And if you look there at verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." Rain falling from the heaven is something we're very familiar about with this in this part of the world. We see it on a regular basis. But that was altogether different back in those times when Noah lived. The earth was watered by a different method than it was with rain. It was watered by a mist that went up from the surface of the earth and watered the whole earth. So the idea of rain falling out of the sky was something entirely new, something that had never been seen before in the days of Noah. But Noah believed God when God warned him that this was going to come to pass. And there is the point of application and the point of parallel as well with our own times. Is there not a warning of a future judgment that God gives in his word? Not a judgment by water, but a judgment by fire. It tells you that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It tells you about that fiery judgment. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. There is a day of the Lord coming, and that day of the Lord is going to bring in a fiery judgment upon the earth. Another judgment. And that judgment that took place way back there in the days of Noah is just a warning to us. It comes down through all the centuries, even the millennia of time, right down to our own day. And it tells us, it warns us of a future day of judgment. That's why we need to get into the ark of God's salvation. There's a future day of judgment. But is there not also a parallel here in that there's many who disbelieve that this will ever happen? Just the same way as people disbelieved that there was going to be rain that would fall from heaven for 40 days and 40 nights. There were those who disbelieved it. There were those who said, "We have never seen this before. How is this ever going to happen?" And are there not those who today dismiss the idea of ever having to stand before God and giving an account? Are there not those today who dismiss the idea of a judgment? There's some who don't believe in God at all and deny that there's such a thing. There's others who do believe in a God, but it's a God not of the Bible, but a God of their own imagination, a God who's not going to judge anyone according to them. My friend, the Bible says there's a day of judgment coming, a day of fiery judgment. The very elements, that which this world is made up of, is going to melt with fervent heat. The very ground we stand on, the things that we take to be so solid in this world, they're going to burn with fervent heat in that day of judgment. Is there not a need to be alarmed? Is there not a need to be warned about this? Can we not take those words that are spoken there in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, where it says that Noah being warned of things not seen as yet, does that not apply today? My friend, there's a judgment. You haven't seen it, but it's coming. And therefore the invitation to come, whether in Noah's day it was to come into the ark, that place of safety, or whether it is today to come to Christ, then surely the invitation is important and ought not to be refused, but ought to be readily received and acted upon immediately because of this coming day of judgment. So there's a timely warning that you have in these verses or in this statement, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." But I want you also not only to think about a timely warning, think about a timely provision. What a wonderful provision that ark was. God told Noah about the ark. He actually told Noah to build the ark. There were two things that Noah was actually to do. First of all, he was to start a building program. And he was going to build this ark. But he also was to start to preach. The New Testament calls him a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 gives Noah that particular title. He's called a preacher of righteousness. So the Lord gave him that double task to perform. First of all, he had to start to build, and also he had to start to preach. He had to start to tell people about what was going to happen, even though it might have been some time away. Nevertheless, Noah had to start preaching and to tell a perishing world that there was judgment coming, but that there was a place of safety, that there was an ark that was provided. This was Noah's message. There's an ark that has been provided. There's a place of safety that has been provided. And all who enter in to this place of safety will indeed escape the judgment, the watery judgment that was coming upon the earth. So Noah began to build, and he built, and he built. And part of the building of that ark was to build in an entrance into it. And when you read what the Bible has to say about the size of that ark, one of the striking things to notice about it is that there was only one entrance. Only one entrance into a massive structure like that. You wouldn't get away with building that type of a structure today with only one entrance. You'd be required to have a number of entrances, but God ordained it that there was only going to be one entrance. And in that massive ark that was made for the saving of humanity and the animals as well, there was only going to be one entrance, one door. And there is a significance in that, because the ark that Noah prepared and built is a picture of God's salvation. We've already been saying that the ark was a place of safety in a time of judgment. God's salvation is like that. It's the place of safety. It's the place we need to come to if we're ever going to escape the judgment that is coming upon this world. Then we must flee to Jesus Christ. And do we not see the parallel? There's only one way into God's salvation. Wasn't it the Lord Jesus who said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." I am the door. There's that little chorus that we teach the boys and girls. One door and only one. There's only one door to enter into this place of safety that you and I need to come to. There's only one door. There's not many doors. It's not a matter of you coming your way and, well, I can come my way. Somebody else can come another way, and someone else can come another way entirely of their own making, as long as you're sincere about it. We hear that type of gospel preached in many places today, but it's a lie. It's a lie. That's not the gospel. That's not what the Word of God says about salvation and how we enter into it. There's only one way into God's salvation, and that one way is through Jesus Christ, the one who said himself, "I am the door." He is the only door. There's no other way into God's salvation. You can't enter in by your own efforts. You can't enter in by thinking that you're a good enough person as you are, and you don't do anybody any harm. And maybe somebody thinks they're a church member, or they've been baptized or catechized or confirmed or whatever. None of those things get you into heaven. They don't bring you into the experience of God's salvation. You have to enter in through the door. I have to enter in through the door. And my friend, there's only one door. Just as there was only one door into that massive ark. That massive ark had only one door. There's only one way into God's salvation. And yes, there will be multitudes that will be saved. The Bible describes all of those who will be saved as a great multitude, which no man can number. But I tell you that every one of those who will ultimately be in heaven will be saved by the one way. They will not enter into heaven a number of ways. They will only enter in the one way. And that is by coming to know Jesus Christ, trusting in him, entering in through the door, the one door. That brings you into that experience of God's salvation. And you, the invitation then you see is to come to Christ. Come to Christ. Noah had to come through the door of the ark. And you and I have to come to Christ. And that's the reason for preaching the gospel. It is that men and women might hear this. I said the other thing that Noah had to do was he had to preach. He had to preach. He had to tell the people of that generation, here's how you can be saved. Here's how you can be spared from this watery judgment. And today there's a message that needs to be preached. We were singing it there in that opening hymn, Sound the Gospel of Grace Abroad. There's life in the risen Lord. That's the message that we have to preach. There's a message to preach. There's a gospel to proclaim. There's good news to tell men and women today. Yes, there is a judgment that is coming upon this world, but there's a way of salvation. There's a place of safety. There's a place to where you can come and I can come. And if we enter in, then we can indeed be safe. And we want that message to be declared far and near. The Lord has commissioned his church to declare it in all the world. We're to go into all the world and to tell it to every individual. It doesn't matter what nationality they're from. It doesn't matter what ethnic group they belong to. They need to hear this message. And that's why all down through the history of the Christian church, there's been missionaries that have gone to the far corners of the earth to take the gospel and to tell men and women there's a way of salvation. And there's only one way to enter in, and that is through Jesus Christ. I trust that you've entered in. I trust you've entered in. There's one final thing I want you to consider here. Not only a timely warning and a timely provision, but a timely exhortation. A timely exhortation. These words, come thou and all thy house into the ark, were very timely. They were uttered 7 days before this judgment would come upon the earth. Just 7 days. We've already drawn your attention to that verse. It's verse 4 of that chapter where the Lord said, yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So what a timely exhortation this was to enter in to the place of safety. There were others who heard this invitation. They'd heard Noah preach, but they despised it, wouldn't believe it, wouldn't act upon the instruction and the exhortation that was given by Noah, the preacher of righteousness. And they ended up perishing because they wouldn't enter in. And my friend, if you don't come to Christ, there is a great danger you'll perish. Oh, it is inevitable that you'll perish. And therefore, how timely the warning might be this very afternoon to you. If you come under the sound of my voice, the gospel exhortation to you is to come. Come to Christ. Come now to Christ. Do not delay. Do not delay. Come as you are. Come in all your need. But come. Come to Jesus Christ. How do you come? Well, you have to respond. Isn't that what you would do to any exhortation to come? If somebody said to you, come, come and see this, wouldn't you respond? Well, my friend, when Jesus Christ speaks to you, and if he's speaking to your heart this very afternoon, and he's saying to you, come, then I exhort you to respond. Come to Christ. Call upon him to save your soul. That's how you need to respond. Call unto me, he says. Whosoever shall call shall not be cast out. And my friend, may you come and may you call. And may these words of exhortation be a timely warning even to you this afternoon that you would come to Christ. That's our earnest desire for you, for all who are listening, neighbors and friends and those out around about us here. We want them to come. We want them to come to Christ. And may indeed it be a timely warning to some individual, even this very afternoon, it's time to settle the matter and come to Christ. It's time to make that preparation for eternity and be ready to meet God. Come, come to Christ. I trust the Lord will bless his word to each and every heart today.